I've had the humbling and yet exhilarating experience of being in a school distribution like that in another country of the world, and I can tell you there's nothing like it. But isn't it sad that the forces of our country want to keep that from happening in our schools? The very freedom that these men and women who stood up earlier fought for, people in our own country are trying to take it away. I apologize for getting emotional. I didn't plan to do that. But I can tell you there is an appreciation and a hunger for God's word around the world that's not found anymore in America. So the Bible has told us to go into all the world and take the gospel. And that's what the Gideon ministry is committed to do. There are men and women positioned in 200 countries of the world, business and professional men and their wives, who have access to the people of their country, their communities, their regions. They just need something to deliver, and that's where you and I come into the equation. You know, we are living in very interesting times, I think you would agree. Seeing some of the things that we see going on, who would have ever thunk it? Now, I'm a country boy, so that's good English where I live. And as we look at our world, and we look at our nation even, there's a cry for help and a cry for hope. But that hope and that help is not found in the halls of Congress. It's not found even in the walls of the Supreme Court. It's not found in legislation. It's not found in economic sanctions. It's not found in wars or threats of war. The only hope for our world and our nation is found in the pages of this book. And so we have an opportunity today to impact someone's eternity. And I want you to think about that as we open the scripture this morning to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now, I can tell you, I didn't think I was going to be here Friday about 12 o'clock. I have been sick as a dog all week. And I hope you're not out there saying, yeah, we can look at you and tell. But I was in a bad way. About 10:30 Friday morning, I was getting really close to calling Brother Jay and just tell him I couldn't make the drive. It's 4+ hours, and I was in a bind. But God had another plan, and so I hope I don't look like somebody who was sick for 5 days. I was miserable, but you know, God is bigger than any of our illnesses or diseases. And so I appreciate the privilege of being here with you today. John chapter 6. Let's read the first 9 verses. We're going to read this in haste so we can get to what I believe we want to share with you this morning. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. There, a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now a feast of the Passover was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where should we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Would you bow with me this morning? Lord, bless our time together. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Help us, Lord, to receive from you what you would have us hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know anything about the geography around here, other than it's flat. So I don't know what the highest point is anywhere within 10 miles of where we're at this morning. Probably the steeple on the church. But imagine if we were all sitting on a hill somewhere, looking down with Jesus and the disciples, and all of a sudden, this throng of people came along. Now, you know they were dirty. There were some smelly feet. They were definitely hungry. Where are they going to find food? Jesus tests Philip. I think Jesus had a sense of humor, don't you? He said, where are we going to buy bread that all these may eat? Now, this is before the day of Circle K. There was no chain grocery stores anywhere around. There was no Walmart or Super Walmart anywhere around. For you young people, there were no Whole Foods stores. In the natural, this was an impossible situation, wasn't it? If we look at the world we live in today and everything that's going on, if we look at our nation and everything that's going on in the natural, doesn't it look like an impossible situation? Well, let's be reminded this morning, we still serve a God who specializes in the possibilities of impossible situations. So nothing is too hard for God. And so I want to share with you this morning some impossible situations and tell you what God did with them through this ministry and through His Word. Let me start by talking about a young man in Argentina named Luis. Luis had gotten in trouble with the gangs. He had gotten in trouble with the law. So much trouble that he couldn't find anywhere to run because when he was running from one, he would run into the other. And so he had made a decision. The devil had put it in his heart to take his life. So he left school one day and he went home. And praise God, I've never had a thought of suicide. But if I ever did, I wouldn't have chose the method the devil put in his mind. He told him to slash his wrist. So he went in the kitchen and pulled out the drawer normally where the knives were. And he fumbled around to find a knife and he couldn't find one. But instead, he pulled out a little red testament like this. And he had no clue what it was. He still to this day has no clue how it got there. But he opened it, and the first thing he read was Revelation 20 and 15. Well, you know it's in Revelation. It's pretty serious. It said, if his name was not written in the book of life, he was doomed for the lake of eternal fire. Well, he didn't know what that meant exactly, but he knew it didn't sound good. So he began to look in the pages of the book, and in the cover there are helps to guide people who are in certain situations to Scripture. And it guided him to John 3:16. We could all quote it out loud. And when he got to the part that said, whosoever, he knew that was him. Now, right there in a kitchen in an Argentine home, there was no pastor. There was no youth leader. There was no lay leader. There was no Gideon. Just the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You see, this is the greatest missionary God ever commissioned right here. It works 24/7, 365. It's never at a loss for words, doesn't see color, doesn't see social standing, doesn't see anybody's bank account. It tells us in Hebrews 4 and 12, this is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It said it can pierce to the dividing of joints and marrow, but it says it can also judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not capable of that. I don't want that responsibility. But God's word saved that young man. Now, that would be a good ending to the story, but God had a bigger plan. Luis Acino today has the privilege of going in over 100 schools in the nation of Argentina and ministering to young people who many have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the message that he received in that little red testament, the possibilities of an impossible situation. Let me share with you one closer to home. There was a gentleman several years ago out of Baton Rouge named Gerald Cortez who sat on the banks of the Mississippi River. One hand, he had a fifth of whiskey. The other hand, he had a loaded handgun. And he was just going to get inebriated enough to do what he was going to do. And he said all of a sudden, floating on a little pile of driftwood, he saw something shiny. And it caught his attention. It wound up being the little gold emblem on a Gideon New Testament that somehow had found its way to a little pile of driftwood that was within reach where he could get it. Folks, we can't make this stuff up. You see, God gets his word places, and to people, we can't go. The possibilities of impossible situations. He was an impossible situation, But God redeemed his life for eternity through that little testament floating in a brush pile. Let's also stay close to home and talk about an impossible situation. What about Angola State Prison? At one time, it was considered one of the worst and most dangerous prisons in the world. The Gideons, 2 months ago, we celebrated our 68th anniversary of being able to go to Angola and minister to inmates there and share the gospel. I keep this bookmark. It's a nice plastic bookmark that the inmates made for us. Remember, Brother Otto, on the 50th anniversary back in 1999. The Gideon ministry is appreciated and valued at Angola. And what was once a very bad place is now a not so bad place. There's a nice attitude there. Now, it's not a place you want to go, because if you go not visiting, you're never going to leave. But I can tell you things have changed there. And it didn't change because the Gideons went there. It changed because the Word of God went there. God's Word changes things. There are possibilities in impossible situations. I have to share a quick story with you about what happened at our local... Y'all got to bear with me. I've taken this medicine and it either dries me out or makes me run. The Bible I read to you from is like one we take to the jail cells in Sabine Parish in our detention center. They got soft covers on them because some of the bad guys, we used to take the hardcover ones from the hotel motels and recycled and take them to the jail. Some of them started to try to make weapons out of those covers. So we outsmarted them and put a little kind of a paper cover on it. Our chaplain there at the time at the detention center, who's now gone to be with the Lord, called me one day. He said, buddy, he said, we may want to rethink taking Bibles to cell block B or whatever cell block it was. I said, why is that, Brother Vernon? He said, well, some of the men have started tearing out the pages and smoking them. And I said, well, you know what, Brother Vernon? God has a unique way of getting his word into some people. Now, we would never put scriptures where people are going to intentionally destroy them. But there was a valuable lesson learned that day. Our mission as God's ambassadors and as God's witnesses, as Gideons, as church members, is not to judge soil, but to sow seed. Did you hear that? Now, I was born and raised on a farm. I know with good sense not to go out in that asphalt parking lot and start planting anything. Because as we say back home, it ain't going to grow. But you know, when it comes to sharing the Word of God, we can't judge soil. We're called to sow seed. And God says, I'll take care of the harvest. We know not all soil is going to be receptive, but that's not our responsibility. The possibilities of an impossible situation. Let's talk about Indonesia. I had the privilege of going there on a Gideon trip a few years ago. I saw scenes like the one we saw in the video, school kids coming from everywhere to receive a copy of the Jesus book. Excitement, intensity. It's an amazing event because Indonesia is the fourth most populated nation of our world, but per capita, there are more Muslims there than anywhere. And when I signed up for the trip and paid all my airfare and hotel accommodations, was about the time that it started hitting the news of Christians being beheaded by Muslim radicals and people being burned alive in cages. Y'all remember some of that. And I thought, Lord, what am I getting myself into? Well, where we went was nothing like that. The nation of Indonesia as a whole is nothing like that. I tell you what it is. It's on fire for the gospel right now. The Christian church is growing there by leaps and bounds. When we were there, I had the privilege of speaking in a church, a small church out in the middle of nowhere. There were 394 people there that morning. Their church is growing so fast that they're building a bigger sanctuary. Sound familiar? So in Indonesia, we found absolutely no doors closed to the gospel. In 5 days on the ground, this testament written in the Indonesian language, 253,000 of these were placed into the hands of men, women, boys, and girls in hotel rooms, hospital rooms, on the streets, in the most Muslim-populated nation of the world. Now, we went to the university there, and I'm telling you, they had a parking lot not quite as big as y'all's. Well, maybe as big as one of them. Y'all got several here. This campus, by the way, is bigger than the town I live in. I got lost just trying to find the door to come in last night. Where I live, it's a bad day if you go through town and catch two of the three red lights. Okay? I live in small town America. Manny. Look it up. M-A-N-Y, not two N's. But we started seeing those young people come to the parking lot to college, and they were on scooters. I don't know how they knew which one was theirs. They all look alike. And we went to meet them in the parking lot. And there were so many coming at so rapid a pace that we were like, how are we gonna reach everybody to give them a testament? And I don't think the first one turned us down. All of a sudden, this little military man, you military men and women will appreciate this, nice looking, clean cut, well built, polished, came storming out there where we were. And I go, well, here's the end of that. He's going to shut the whole thing down. No, he came to get some boxes of scriptures because he wanted to stand at the main entrance door and make sure that everybody went in the door had one. Now, men and women of the military in America today, could you get away with that? Probably not. But yet in Indonesia, there was a young man who thought enough of the spiritual welfare of young people to take it upon himself to do that. Isn't that amazing? The possibilities of an impossible situation. Let's talk about the Middle East. The Middle East is a mess. It's been a mess. It'll be a mess till the Lord comes back. Among the 200 countries where the Gideons is organized, you're not going to find Libya, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. Those are not countries where the Gideons are welcome or organized. But God has a possibility in an impossible situation. You see, when you pray for and support this ministry, you still allow us to offer all of our active military men and women testaments. We even have blue ones for the Navy. And over 3.8 million of these have gone into the Middle Eastern countries through our military men and women. You see, God can use an event as unpopular as war to help reach people with the gospel. And while those people may be different mindsets than us, they're still God's children. He loves them. They have a heart. They have a soul. And he wants to redeem it for eternity. The possibilities of an impossible situation. Let me close by getting close to home and talking about our wonderful city of New Orleans. So much fun to do. So many exciting things. The greatest food on earth. But you know, you can pretty much find anything in New Orleans you want to find. And a lot of it ain't good. There are a lot of forces of evil there. And I'm telling you, God is doing a mighty work there. Back in October of this past year, I know your church was asked to pray. We had a very carefully planned and concentrated scripture distribution in the city. And God opened doors to us, to the universities, to several schools, to hotels. We went to this one hotel. The brother, local brother there said, there's no way we're going to be able to put Bibles in these rooms. The manager won't even let us in the door. So well, we're this close. Let's go try. We pulled up there. We prayed in the car before we got out. As soon as we got out of the car, there's a lady out there puffing a cigarette. She goes, oh, the Bible men are here. There's not a Bible in my room, she said. I said, well, we're hoping we can change that. We went in the door, asked to speak to the manager. The local Gideon was didn't even want to look because he knew. Well, guess what? The antagonistic manager got transferred to another state. They had a new manager, and she couldn't welcome us quick enough and said, we want a Bible for every room. Isn't that a blessing? There are possibilities in impossible situations because of the God we serve. Our international convention is coming to New Orleans in 2.5 weeks. There are going to be Gideons there from almost 100 countries of the world. Some of those people are very skilled and trained in witnessing. They know how to reach the homeless people. They know how to reach the drug addicts. It's going to be exciting. We're going to have the privilege to speak in about 300 churches in the New Orleans area. But what is more exciting that came from that October scripture blitz, in addition to the almost 45,000 scriptures that were placed, is a coalition of churches that's come together in a partnership with the Gideons to really help reach the city. And I'm sure your pastor and leadership are going to be sharing more of that with you in the coming weeks. So God is doing some amazing things right here in our own backyard. But folks, I want to remind you of something. It takes seed. And just like in the story of the 5,000 fed, as I close, we always accentuate the miracle. We should never discredit any miracle that Jesus did, but we should never be surprised. That was his ministry. It said all these people were following him because of the signs he had performed on those who were diseased, the healings. So it was nothing for him to take nothing and do what he did. This was an impossible situation, even more impossible than we realize. We commonly refer to this as the story of the 5,000 fed, right? But if you read Matthew's account, it's even more impossible. Matthew 14:21 says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So there could have been 10 to 12 to 15,000 hungry people here. And all they had was a Popeye's box lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish, 2 loaves and 5 fish. Does it even matter? It wasn't enough to make a difference, was it? But let me just say this. Anything we give to God with the right spirit, he can take it and do the miraculous. Because he is the master of multiplication. And I want to prove that to you as I go to sit down and as Brother Jay prepares to come up to close. My good friend Ed Buckley over here helped me last night, so I'll pick on him again. I want to prove to you the miracle of multiplication. And I want you to get this. Ed, help me out. What is 4 plus 4? 8. Everybody agree? Where I live, this means yes and this means no. Everybody agree? Now, we're going to take that plus sign and shift it to the right. Make an X out of it. What's 4 times 4? Everybody agree? Same two numbers, but because we multiplied, we got twice as much. That's the God we serve. Folks, every day you're helping us empty over 2,500 of these boxes somewhere around the world. 250,000 copies a day are being distributed to men, women, boys, and girls through this ministry because of your prayers and your support. This is a ministry of empty boxes, the ones that are emptied every day and the ones that are waiting to be filled to go somewhere else in the world, because the world is hungry for God's word. And you and I are the only organization that cares enough to fill these boxes. Congress doesn't care. NATO doesn't care. You and I, God's called. May God bless you today.
Thank you, Brother Buddy. Let's join together in prayer right now. Father, as we continue in this time, Lord, we pray that you would just continue to speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you would just show us the very truth of your word, that God, we would be into it more and more, moment by moment, day by day. And just thank you for your healing hand. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. Our pastors are here. I want to encourage you today to enlarge your circle. Perhaps your circle has been a circle where you've just not allowed the love of God in to your life. Today, I want to encourage you to enlarge and allow God into your life. So if you've never, ever made a decision to invite Jesus in, I want to encourage you today to come talk to one of our pastors, one of our counselors, and allow God to begin a fresh new work in your life today. Perhaps others of you, you've allowed in that circle God into your life, but you've kept that circle in a place where you have just hindered God working in your life because you say, I don't like this person, I don't like this family member, or they hurt me, or somebody at church hurt me, or whatever it may be. I want to encourage you today to go before the Lord and just ask Him to help you to enlarge that circle and allow God to do a fresh new work in your life. There's some of you here that you've been coming to church here for years, and you say it's my church, but you've never come and made it your church. Today, I want to encourage you to just step forward, come down and say, hey, today I'm making this my church, and become a member of First Baptist Church Covington today. So as our worship team leads, invite you to stand and come and make that decision for Christ today.